As Paul has mentioned, we started last Sunday night with a new series of lessons entitled Five Easy Steps to Wreck Your Life. We're going to be talking about some things that we do to ourselves, self-inflicted problems. Those are usually the worst kind, and sometimes they're the hardest ones to fix because it depends all upon us. We can't wait for someone else to take care of the problem. We have to have the initiative within ourselves to take the whatever steps are necessary in order to solve these kind of problems. We talked about gossip last Sunday night, and we looked at some things that the Bible teaches about that terrible sin, and we came away with the conclusion that Scripture reminds us of how destructive the tongue can be when it is misused. Tonight, we're going to look at the subject of anger. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Anger seems to be one of the hardest emotions for some people to get control of. And it also, at the same time, seems like it's one of the hardest emotions to keep control of. If you have a problem with anger, it seems to be something that comes up and comes out far more frequently than you'd like for it to. Every day it seems like we hear of a new case or a different illustration of what someone has done out of anger, whether it's what we've invented a whole new category of behavior now, and called it road rage, when folks get angry with one another over some things that happen on the road in the vehicles. And if you spend much time on the road, you know that that can be one of the most tempting outlets for anger and frustration, particularly the way everybody else except for me drives. If you've got that attitude, and most of us do, we feel like we are the only ones on the face of the earth who know how to drive, or at times we are the only ones on the face of the earth who are in a hurry. And it seems like our government is constantly passing more and more laws restricting this and restricting that, keeping you from doing all of these kind of things when you really have no business even wanting to put your makeup on while you're driving. Ladies, you really shouldn't be trying to text or email on your phone while you're driving. All of those kind of things, we really don't need laws about that because they're just good common sense, aren't they? But one of the most frustrating things that most of us do is driving on the roads. There are a couple of things I want to point out about that passage that we read just a minute ago in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 20, the verse just before where we started reading, Jesus tells us that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And then after telling us that, in the next several verses, in fact, 20 or so verses or more, verses 21 to about verse 48, Jesus gives 5 or 6 examples of areas in which to do that, in which we should exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And one of those areas is the area of anger. Or as we've invented the term now, anger management. The Bible calls that self-control. I'm not sure why we needed another term, but we've got the term these days, anger management. And that just calls attention to the fact that some people have a particularly large problem with anger. And so anger management is a big deal now. In those verses that we read, Jesus makes reference to the 6th commandment given by God. One of the important differences between the King James Version and some of the other translations in this particular text is the King James Version says, "It was said by them of old." But the proper translation for that is, "It was said to them of old." Who said it? God said it. It was said to them of old, "You shall not murder." That was God's law. Today, God is just as concerned about managing our anger and controlling ourselves as He was in Jesus' day, or even all the way back in Moses' day. And it's clear from this warning that Jesus gives us and the way that He describes it in these verses that anger is a problem that can be progressive. In other words, it usually starts out small as a little thing, and if it's not checked, it'll grow into something a little bit bigger, and quickly it'll get so big that it's out of control. Simple anger turns into contempt, which produces insults, which can often lead to hatred, and then there doesn't seem to be any limit after that. Obviously, uncontrolled anger gives people a view of us that we'd really prefer they didn't see, especially if we claim to be Christians. If we claim to be God's people and we do not control our anger, we are seen as hypocrites. Not only does it point out the hypocrisy of our lives, but it also has some dire consequences in at least 2 very important aspects. Number 1, as Jesus mentioned, it affects our worship. Number 2, obviously, it affects our relationships with other people. It's not a coincidence that through the pen of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 31, the Holy Spirit lumps anger in with some pretty raw company. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Unchecked anger is a very dangerous and can be a very tragic thing. Often, over time, anger and resentment can linger on long after people have forgotten what actually started the problem in the very beginning. I don't know if you watched that recent mini-series on the History Channel about the Hatfields and the McCoys. That's an interesting little slice out of our nation's history in that one little area there. But people today are not really sure what even really started the feud between the Hatfields and McCoys all the way back in the late 1800s. But through the years, more than 100 men and women and children died at the hands of their neighbors and sometimes their distant relatives because of this feud. Finally, in 1976, Jim McCoy and Willis Hatfield, the last two survivors of the original families, shook hands in a public ceremony dedicating a monument to six of those victims of the feud. McCoy died on February the 11th, 1984, at the age of 99 years. He bore no grudges, and his burial was handled by the Hatfield Funeral Home in Toler, Kentucky. And to avoid this very kind of lingering anger, or at least the lingering effects of this kind of anger, Paul gives us the remedy in the next verse there in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." I want you to notice some of the things that God's Word says about anger, and particularly those who live by anger. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17, the wise man says that one with a quick temper does foolish things, but one with understanding remains calm. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, patience is better than strength. Controlling your temper is better than capturing a city. Proverbs 19, verse 11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs 25 and verse 28, those who do not control themselves are like a city whose walls are broken down. Proverbs 29, verse 11, foolish people lose their tempers, wise people control theirs. One final passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. That is not an exhaustive list of everything God's Word says about anger and about people who live by anger. There are many more passages, particularly, as you might guess, in the book of Proverbs, that talk about how God feels about uncontrolled anger. But tonight, I want us to take a quick look at what I'm calling four faces of anger. These are four specific types or categories of anger that describe different levels of anger, and as they are referenced in Scripture. Now, these are not all of the words that are used in the Bible for anger, but these are four of the terms that are most prominent. Number one, let's think for a minute about the matter of rage. Rage describes a short-fused, intensely explosive, uncontrolled anger. It's the fly-off-the-handle kind of anger that leaves you and everybody around you torn into pieces. We sometimes hear people try to excuse themselves for this by saying, "Oh, I know I lose my temper really fast, but it's usually over in a few minutes." Well, you know, so is a big explosion with a stick of dynamite. But after it's over, even if it's over quickly, everything's destroyed. Will Rogers said, "People who fly into a rage seldom make a good landing." There's a lot of wisdom in that. It hasn't been all that many years ago that the original run of a television program that has since seen a return, especially I think in the comic world, of that big old guy who, when he got angry, turned into some kind of superhuman monster. What did we call him? The Incredible Hulk, wasn't it? And you could see him transform there before your very eyes in the scene. You know, his shirt would pop open and the shoulders would rip apart and his big old arms would bulge out. And he'd turn green as he got angry. And I've often thought that that was a really neat characterization of what happens to a person on the inside when they lose control and fly off the handle in a rage. Typical short fusers often offer excuses like this. Well, it just got to me and touched off my temper. Or it's like something just came over me and I couldn't do anything about it. James gives some good advice in James chapter 1, verse 19. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. One of the modern translations that's not really a very accurate translation, but it does the concept justice in this case, I think. The Message renders that verse like this: lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along way back in the rear. You know, that's the way it ought to be. We need to be sure we listen well. We speak only when we're sure we've got something worthy of saying. And try our very best to get angry as little as possible. Number two is the term wrath. Wrath is the kind of anger that wants revenge, desires to retaliate, wants to return the hurt or the injustice to the offender that has caused them. It's the kind of anger that holds a grudge. It's an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth kind of anger. It's the kind of anger that says, I'll get you back for this no matter how long it takes. A wrathful anger is always accompanied by an unforgiving spirit. Wrath is what the Pharisees felt for Jesus. You see, they built up their own little system of religion. They called it God's, but it was really their own. And they were profiting from it, both socially and financially. And Jesus comes onto the scene with his teaching, and he begins to dismantle their little kingdom piece by piece, and they got fighting mad. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 11, Luke records this about the Pharisees. After one of those occasions of a run-in with Jesus, he says, but they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Wrath, with its accompanying desire for revenge, is what fuels a lot of the crime that we have today. And it's one of the ways that we see best illustrated what we call road rage. I'll never forget the day that I was driving down the road around Montgomery. Don't remember where I was, but I came upon two cars that were running side by side very slowly, and the guy in the one in the right-hand lane was leaning out the window, beating the car in the left-hand lane with a broom handle. If it hadn't been such a dangerous situation, it would have been the most comical thing I think I've ever seen on the road. I read about a guy who was driving in rush hour traffic in suburban Maryland, close to Washington, D.C., where every minute seems to be full of near misses and irritating moments. This one young lady darted her little car into a stream of traffic right in the front of a man, forcing him to slam on brakes sharply and avoid hitting her by just inches, and he was obviously furious about that. Within a few seconds, a traffic light stopped them, and he jumped out of his car, and he stomped up there to the car in front of him where she was, and he was intending, no doubt, to give her a piece of his mind. Hopefully, nothing worse than that, but she was a pro at this. She saw him coming, and this very attractive young lady jumped out of her car and ran to meet him with a big old smile on her face. Before he could say a word, she wrapped her arms around his neck in a hug and planted a big old kiss right on his lips. And she quickly hopped into her car and took off because the light had turned green by then and left him standing there just in the middle of the street, speechless and looking very confused and very embarrassed. But he wasn't angry anymore. Number three is resentment. Resentment is anger that stems from a grievance. Many times it's something that has been suppressed for a long period of time, and it just quietly smolders down inside. As it is nurtured inside a person, it produces things like self-pity, and eventually gives birth to quite a bit of bitterness. Resentment anger is what the elder brother felt toward his younger brother, the prodigal son. In fact, I believe he also felt resentment toward his father as well for what he had done. In fact, Luke records the words of Jesus in Luke 15, beginning in verse 28, describing the young man, but he was angry and refused to go in. You remember the story, how the father came out to him and asked him to come in. Luke says he entreated him. But he answered his father in this way. He says, "Look, these many years I've served you and never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours is come who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him." Resentment, anger, destroys relationships with others. Number four, and this is the last one on my list. Indignation. Indignation is the anger that rises up in us as a result of seeing someone or something of importance to us being mistreated or suffering some kind of injustice. Indignation anger is usually free from rage, resentment, and retaliation. Indignation can be a healthy anger, especially if it's aimed at the problem and not at the person. It's anger for the right reason, expressed in the right kind of way. Controlled anger that can be used in a corrective, instructive way. Some people try to point to the two occasions where Jesus cleansed the temple as illustrations of anger that was out of control. Actually, the Bible never says that Jesus was angry. It says he was zealous for his father's house. It doesn't say that he was out of control. It does indicate that he was very forceful. He did not use the whip to drive the men out, but Jesus did show anger on some occasions. In Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we find this record. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched, they would be the Pharisees. They watched Jesus to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they could accuse him. And he said to the man with a withered hand, "Come here." And he said to him, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or kill?" They were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately and held counsel with the Herodians against him on how to destroy him. You see, God doesn't say that we can't get angry. But he does warn us not to sin in the process. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." Obviously, anger is something that can easily get out of control. Somebody says, "Well, how do I know if I've got a real problem with anger or not?" Well, first of all, I can't believe you would even ask that. Because it's pretty obvious when we have a problem with anger. But if we find ourselves having to apologize all the time and make excuses all the time about our anger, we've got a problem. Let's go to God's book and find the solution and apply it. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.